So glad you're all here. This is my very sweet friend, Lais. Her husband's name is Julio, and they're from a place in Brazil called Uberlândia. It's a really big city, especially compared to here in the Northwoods. It's very much city. I had the privilege of going to stay with Lais once, actually, and her family in Brazil, and it was wonderful. I met Lais through her daughter, Juliana. Juliana and I both did our DTS here together in 2008. And so we went to Thailand together, and then Lais actually ended up coming here with her husband, and they did their discipleship training school here as well. So I was her staff during that time. Lais has four children. They're all grown-ups and out of the house. Three of them are married. One is not. The one who is not is here in Ohio doing university. And so now two of her children live here, Juliana and Marco. And so, of course, she can't stay away for too long because we have her children. So I'm just very excited for you to get to hear her heart today. A calling that I know God has had on Lais's life for a long time is to be a mom, not just to her own children, but to many other people in the world. And I am one of those people who is privileged to call her my Brazilian mom. So I'm very excited you guys get to hear from her today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good morning, ladies. I'm so happy to see every one of you because I know that today is a special day for everyone that is here. And for me, it's always amazing the way that the women are thirsty, are hungry for God. We woke up in the morning and we do whatever we need to be in His presence. And it's so nice to see. And God is answering our prayers as He sees that He can trust in us. And like Nisette told about who I am, and I want to thank for Paula, thank you to invite. I think that it's a time that God orchestrate to happen, and I hope you understand my English. It's not so easy to preach in another language. And I can be a little messed with my Bible. It's in Portuguese, in English, but we prayed for the Holy Spirit help you understanding what I am. If you don't understand, or if I say a word wrong, please, if sometimes one word different can do a mess and you don't understand the phrase. But as we are in a YWAM, that is a missionary base, and so it's cool to have people from, it's normal to have people from other countries. Yes, like Nisette said, I did my DTS with young people. Terry, where is Terry? Yeah. Terry, me and my husband was the three experience with a mission. We are not saying old, but experience with a mission. And we did pretty well, no, Terry? Yes. We were like a mom and dad for the team, and was awesome. Was such a time for us. And I want to, Paula told that we are talking about intimacy with God. And we are thinking, I want to ask you to open your Bible in the first book, Genesis. And we read some scripture there. I will ask someone that stand up and read in English because it's better than me. Genesis 1 through verse 26 to 30. Who has a Bible and a good voice for everyone to listen, can please stand up and read for me? Yes, thank you.
And over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female. female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the earth ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so.
You read, oh no. Since the beginning, God, the desire of God's heart was to have intimacy with man. It's all about that. Relationship. What God wants to have with us is not religious stuff. It's life. It's intimacy. We are His children. He loves us. He wants to be with us. He created us to rule this world. What He has in mind was to be together with us. And when we see, every day He was coming to the Garden of Eden to have communion with man, talking with him in a nice way. In fact, the Bible says that Adam gave names to the animals, for the older animals. And I can think about they two talking together like best friends, and the elephant was coming. What do you think about that animal? And Adam saying, maybe elephant is a good name for him. I like to think about that in a simple way, because God was so happy with everything that He created. But when He created the couple, He said, it's very good. He was so pleasant. He was so pleasant. But all of us know about the story. What happened is that our enemy, the God's enemy, was looking for a time that he could do a mess between this relationship that he was so full of envy. And so he came, and we know the story, the sad story about what happened. That Eva disobeyed God, and the man did the same. And the most important thing that happened that day was that the Lord couldn't have more relationship with the man. And if we see the Bible is the story of a loving God trying to reach the man's heart again. All the story, all the Bible, through Genesis to Revelation, is all about that. God looking for this man that He created to be His best friend. Someone, think about, we were made in His image. It's a lot. Like God, He created, but we are not God. And to establish this in very way, what He said, He put the order. You can eat everything, you can do everything, but this tree, don't touch. Don't eat this fruit. But was exactly what the man and woman did. And so, we see how the devil put a mess between God and us. But in Genesis 3, verse 15, God does a promise that He would send His only Son. Is not written by that, but we know that was Jesus, and He would bring us back. And we can see in all the Bible, God looking for man's attention to Him and to bring back His plan, His perfect plan. But the consequence of our the couple with disobedience in the garden was that we lost this intimacy, the perfect intimacy that we had, was planned for us to have. And in the book of John 3, again, I asked someone to read the verse 16 and 17, John 3. Just be bold, stand up and read.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
It's so nice. God sent his Son to love the world, to reach us. Thanks God for that. Where we would be in this moment if wasn't Jesus to save us. I don't know if I would be alive, because when I was young, I had a spirit of depression and death saying to me, put an end in your life. And so, for me, I'm sure that I didn't know way without him. I'm so glad, and I remember this every day. Sometimes it's hard to live the Christian life. Sometimes it's hard, but there is another other life. I'm pretty sure of that. And so Jesus brought us to the communion with God through Jesus. And I will talk a little about my testimony. I was raised in a Catholic, Julian was correcting me that I say wrong, home. I don't know if you know a lot of Brazil, but is a Catholic, used to be a Catholic country. We were colonized by Portuguese people, and so the Catholic religion came to us, and now we have around 25% and 30% of evangelical, but used to be 100% Catholic. And so I was raised in a Catholic home, and I studied in a Catholic school, and I always felt the hungry for God, and I tried to do my best in the Catholic Church, go to the service and pray the prayers and do everything they said that it's good to put us near of God. But in the Catholic Church, what I saw is, or Jesus is a baby, that baby doesn't do nothing, or he is in the cross, dead. And so, I didn't understand that God, in fact. But I was going and trying to be a good children, a good teenager, but I have so many questions in my mind. I didn't understand all that stuff in that time. The priest preached sometimes in Latin. So boring. We can't understand nothing, you know? But I was there like, okay, God, I'm here. Né? Don't be mad with me. I don't want to go to hell. And they used to say you have to come to the service or you go to hell and all that kind of stuff. But when I was going and thinking, and I was so upset, and the movement, the charismatic movement in the Catholic Church start in Brazil, and I was invited to go to a youth camping, and there, besides being a Catholic place, they preach about Jesus. Guess what? Jesus honored, and he came, and I could feel a little of what this looked like to be connected with Jesus. And I was so excited. I remember myself in the end of the event, going in front of the stage and say, I love you, Jesus, and put a cross in my necklace. And I was so happy. But no one cared about me. And I was just that experience. And coming back to church was the same. And I went to college to study history. And as I was studying history and the Marxism doctrine, I was studying about religions. And you know what they said? They used to say, religion is, I forgot the phrase, but it's not real. It's something that men invent. And I said, maybe they are sure they are right. And I was so upset with God, I said, God, I'm not looking for you anymore. I'm done. If you exist, now you come up for me. You will have to reach me. Because you are seeing I am suffering. Because you can ask me, why you suffered? I can't explain, was the emptiness inside of me, because my family was okay with money. I had boyfriend. I don't feel bad with me, but I couldn't explain the world. I couldn't explain how rich people, poor people, how people suffered. All these questions come to my mind. And I felt a strong spirit like saying to me, the life is so bad, it's so easy. Jump to the window. It's an end. It's and I thought, I was so scared to tell to my parents about that because they could think that I was crazy. And I was keeping this just for myself. And in fact, I bought a, como é que fala? Quando você fecha a janela? Lock, to lock my window because I was scared about me. Because it was strong. Now I know that was a devil trying to kill me because he knew the project that God has for me and for each one of you. If he's trying to kill you, don't do that. The best is to come, you know? And what happened is that I said to God, if you exist, and I know some about you, because in that time, Catholic people was discouraged to read the Bible because you don't understand. And so I didn't have a Bible. But God said to me, I said to him, if you exist, I think that was very fair to us to be like you were with the first church, with the apostles. Or you are stupid. You died in a cross and no one's care about that. You said so many things and no one is paying attention what you said. And I did that prayer and I stopped do the Father's prayer every night and Maria's prayer and some stuff that I used to did like religious stuff. I said, I don't talk with you anymore. And I start looking for spiritism or new era, new age, like religions. And I used to say that if I wouldn't be a believer, I would be a witchcraft, maybe. I don't know. Because I was looking for spiritual stuff. And so there was a Christian girl in my, it's for the young people. There was a Christian girl in my class. I didn't like her at all. I thought in 2000, someone bringing Bible to the college, how stupid. And I was criticizing her all the time, but I was observing her. And after 3 years, one day I was at the college and I sit beside her to talk. She said that that day she really didn't want to talk about Jesus with anyone. She was in that bad days and guess, arrived me, full of questions. What is your religion? And he was very smart. He didn't say for me, I am like a believer, because in that time, be a believer was use long skirt, hairs, and don't put makeup. And I had some prejudice against, you know. And so she said, no, I'm Christian. And she had all the answers that I need to have. And she started open the Bible and give me answers and answers and answers. I said, oh man, this book speaks. There is a lot. Why the priest didn't say this to me? And I was receiving the word of God. And I said, there is a way. I'm not lost. And I was so excited that I arrived at home. My mom said, she's crazy. Because I talk all the time. I am 100% extroverted, and I spoke, and saying. And she was like scared about me. The other day, I invited this girl to come to my house and we talk. And she said to me the way. It was a lot about. And so I said, this is so new for me. And there is, but it's a way. I can jump in it. And I gave myself to Jesus. And in this day, everything changed in my life. No one changed, but I changed. And she asked me, do you have a Bible? No, we don't have Bible, just the priest. And she said, the guidance Gideon. Gideon's gave a New Testament at the college. Don't you have? I said, I have one small book of them. I remember seeing that guys in the front of the college giving that stuff for people. And I said, oh man, this is so. I wish I never did that. I would never do that. No one cares. But I appreciate the boldness of that man giving this for. And I had one. And I started talking to God. And what one thing that amazed me is because she used to say, God says this, God said that. God says, God speaks. Is he not a spirit? And I start doing questions for God. And God was so sweet that I opened the New Testament in a verse in the chapter that was the answer for my heart. It was so neat. And I spent many months doing that. But I bought a Bible. I bought also a dictionary because there are some words in the Bible that are not. Now we have many translations, but it's happened 36 years ago. And so we didn't have many options. And I started studying the Bible. And I was so glad that God did this in my life. And the spirit of death just left me. And I never felt the desire to put an end in my life. And what was difficult is because the environment of my house was very oppressive. Many saints around. My mom was a decorator, interior design, and she liked to buy old saints. Just to, you know, it's not because she adored them, but was there, and they were very oppressive. But this girl, she discipled me. You understand? I understand totally the importance of do disciple. Because do disciple is to take time with someone that is start walking like a baby. I remember Sunday morning she calling me on the phone, are you going to church? And I am inventing some, thinking about something to say I'm not going because the oppressive was so hard. And she said, no way, girl, I am going to your home. And she literally went to my bedroom and took me out of the bed and said, you are going. Yes. One day I said, I think that if I go to hell, she is coming off of me. You know, because she was so intensive doing this. She protected me. She took care of me. I was like her trophy. You know trophy? Huh? Trophy. Because she had hard time studying at the college, and she said, I could say that each one of the people in the class could God save less than you. Because I thought you were so orgullous, pride, and independent. God knows us. He knew me. I was the only fruit that she had in our class. But let me see where I am going. I was like, they used to tell me, I was like, Paul. We were discussing about something. I said, what the Bible says? The Bible says that. And so it's that. No discussion. The Bible is to be obeyed. And I am very simple with God's stuff. It says this is this. Because in the past, I had so many thoughts about so many things. But didn't work in my life. And so I don't care anymore what I think or what I don't think. I care what about says in the Bible. And I learn how to be obedient. And sometimes it's hard, really hard to obey. But it's better obey to sacrifice ever, all the time. And when I got saved, I was engaged. Engaged. My husband used to be raised in a Presbyterian church, but not alive. Like in the Catholic, he would go to church, but, you know, just to go. And when the teenager came to him, we lived in a small town in that time, me and him. No one would to be a Protestant in that time was something hard. And he stopped going to church. His parents didn't go. And so when I got saved, I discovered that he was being the church. I said, you know all that I am known now, and you didn't tell me? But he didn't know, in fact, was religious stuff again. I know that you can be presbyter and be alive, but he wasn't. And we got married, and when I was pregnant of my first baby, that is Juliana, God gave me a prophecy. I didn't know I was receiving a prophecy. I was just finishing to read a book about missionaries, American missionaries living in Brazil, telling their story. And when I finished, I was very impacted with their story. And God said to me, take a paper and a pencil and write down what I am going to say to you. I was pregnant and I was scared about how to raise my children in a Christian principle because I was a new believer. And he said to me, daughter, you are going to have children, and it's me that I will teach you how to educate them in my way. Don't be afraid. I tell you that they will live in a time, an ending time. You know what I'm saying? End times. And the love and the evil stuff will be very strong in the earth. And the love will be cold in the hearts of people, but I will put them like a model in their generation. They will be good Christians. And I didn't know at that time how many children I would have. And when I thought it was so neat to see that book, The American Family, living in Brazil, all together, working for God, and I had what amazing thing. Everyone worked to Jesus for his kingdom together. And he said that he had a plan for my family that I didn't know how many would be. And there we are. How many are married here today? Just raise your hand. And so I will say something that everyone will understand. Sometimes the level of our hunger for God is different. And I had to deal with that because I was always very intensive and Julie was like more rational, more like, let's see. Many things that God told me, I never told him. Because he says, are you crazy? Do you know what you are saying? Well, if I am crazy, let be crazy just with God. And so, you didn't tell me that. I said, you would say that I was crazy. And I walk trying to be submiss and being submiss in my house, but being bold with the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And when you have a husband that is in the same level, that is very uncommon, is not, it should be different, but it's the way that the things are. And so I understood. I was part of American ministry in São Paulo, where I lived when I was married in the beginning. And they were, I don't know if you know about Maranatha in the 80s, was very famous, the ministry in Florida and stuff. They were in Brazil. And they said, you have to be 100% to God. I said, how can I, with small children, living with my husband in that way, be 100%? And they taught me, 100% of your heart. Doesn't matter where you are. You need to understand that you are called to be totally to God. Doesn't matter what you do. Like Paul said, I já morri, minha vida está escondida em Cristo. I'm dead and my life is hid in Christ. You know that verse that Paul said? And when Marco Paulo was born, that is the one that has been missionary in this base, I was like we had moved for another town, and everyone that went to help me with his coming was sick, and I was giving a moment.
Was nursing him.
And I was like, God, I don't have a church here. My husband's sick. My mother-in-law is sick. Everyone is sick. I don't have a pastor. I don't have Christian friends to help me and this and this. And the Holy Spirit said, we are just in the beginning. And are you complaining? Was like, you know, slap in my face. Wake up. There will have hard stuff, but I will be with you and be a Christian. And he brought me that verse that says that que a gente toma sua cruz e siga. Take your cross and follow me. Take your cross. Remember when Jesus said this for the disciples? If you want to come with me, take your cross. Our cross is ourselves, our desires, our way of thinking that cannot want to go with Jesus, you know. And this day was in my memory. I was like, okay, God, I understood. And another day, I was, John Eduard is the other son. I have two girls and two boys. He was born, and I was having a time with God, and God said, spoke with me in Jeremiah's one. You know the cult of Jeremiah's? And someone can go there, Jeremiah's 1, verse 4 to 10. I didn't understand right what it means be a prophet.
Verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.
Yes, and he speaks, and he said that I was not going, he also gave me Ezekiel, and said that I was not going to a land that I couldn't speak their language, because English is the most known language in the world. He could send me to China or to Russia or other land. And I was learning how to speak English since I was a child. Like, my mom used to speak very well English, and she tried to teach us. And so, but I didn't understand what means be a prophet. He said to me very clear that day, look to my Bible. I don't have any special children. All my children are special to me. It's for you today. Oh. You see Moses. You see Abraham. You see Joseph. You see David. They are like you. Common people that listen to my voice and did my will. And so I'm telling you, hold very strong in my word. Don't look to left and right what the people are doing. Do what is written here. Don't trust in man, because the Bible says that cursed is the man that trusts in man. Why is cursed is a strong word? Because I can see people complain about my pastor this, my pastor that, my church this. Oh man, you have the Bible. You have all you need. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks with you. I lived times that I lived in the farm, no church. And guess what? My program on TV that I used to watch once a week that passed in Brazil, Jim Swagger. What happened with him? Oh boy, I was like, no way. I can't believe he did that. I can't believe. God, explain to me. Because he could sing so well, he could preach so well. I had the disc, you know, the records, né? I bought records of him, and A year before, a guy in Brazil that was so bold, so good, again, fall down. And I remember God saying to me, I said to you, don't be amazed. It's happened everywhere. But it's not excuse to you, say, I'm stopping or I can do this or that because they did. One day we will be stand in the presence of God. No excuses. No excuses. No husband, no children, no pastor besides you is you and God. What you will say for him. It's about your life. God give us free will. We decide what we do with our lives. It's about us. Thanks God for that. Because we cannot blame in other people. You don't know my church is so cold. It's so are you hot? Put fire in there. You know, pray. Do something. You can. You can. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Is little thing. God lives in you. It's all you need. And I am very submissive to my leaders and my church. I don't use to try church here and here and here. No, if we are there, we are part of that body. And we will stay there doing our part. The gifts that God give to me, I will bless my sisters and my brothers. And some of us, when I was preparing this, God said that some of us were hurted by authorities, figures, like husbands, pastors, leaders, fathers. And we stuck there because we didn't forgive them. Hey, they are human beings, like you. God give you free forgiveness. It was His grace. We didn't deserve to receive this grace, but He gave us. And so in the same way you are receiving, give. Give. Let go. Let go. Don't stay there. Because if you know it was trying to justify that you are right, doesn't help you. Let go. And I had to do this many times. I think that you too. One day I was reading the Bible. Is really you, Lord? Who read this book? Lauren Cunningham. No. Is really you? Is that really you, God? Is the book, the first book of the YWAMer founder, Lauren Cunningham? This is amazing. I encourage every one of you to read this book. And it's simple. He is saying how he is telling his story, how God called him to do missions. And you know, YWAM is in everywhere. Every country has a base of YWAM, a YWAM base. And it's so, I was like, just a man did so much. Not just him alone, but he was the first one that listened and obeyed. You never know what the small start will end in. Because people will come and be with you. And when I finish, he encouraged us to be part of missions. Praying, giving, or going. I said, okay, here am I with 4 children, a husband, like, loves Jesus, but not so much to give his life, entire life, 100%. And so, give me a land to pray. And so, God said to me, pray for America. I heard wrong. I said, God, it's really you, God? Is that really you? They don't need prayers. They are Christian people. They are sending missionaries for everywhere. I thought he would say another land, another country that need more. We are always discussing with the Holy Spirit, no? And so he said, yes, it's them. Because they are my children, but many of them gave me back. Gave me? Turned the back. But they are my children. I care about them. And there is a remanescent. Remnants. Yes. Remnants. That are faithful. Because of them, I want you to pray for the revival in America. And I start to pray. My was when I had my youngest daughter that now is 27 years old. I have been praying all these years for America. And he said, he gave me an image of the secession war in America, a guerra da secessão. You know the war that between the South and the North?
Civil War
in the about the slaves, and you know that issue, that movie, very famous. I forgot the name of the movie, old movie, Debbie. Help me. No, when that was very famous, all about the war. Huh? Yes. Remember that is a scene that the soldiers are coming back home, the people of Saul, derrotado, né? Defeat. One without one leg, one arm. And God said, I want you to pray for my pastors and my missionaries because they are in the front line, but the devil is doing this with them because the church doesn't care. And I start praying for missionaries. I wouldn't know that one day my children would be missionaries. And you never know why God is asking. And you don't have to know. You just have to obey. It will be easier for you if you just understand that you have to obey. Obey. Like a child. Child doesn't discuss with their father, their parents. No? And if they do this, we are upset with them. And we put them. We correct them. And so I start praying. And after some years, I stopped to pray. One day I was in my devotional time. And I was thinking that God was so pleasant with me. We start a church that begin with a small group with women. Start a church in our house. We are doing good. We had moved from our house to a place that we rent. And so I was doing so many things in the church. And the Lord said, I am upset with you. I said, no way. With me. Are you not seeing what I am doing, Lord? And he said, I said, why is the reason? He said, you stop to pray for my people. I said, oh no, God, you again about the Americans. And no problem with you guys, it was because the insistence. And he said, are you not understanding? You are sowing a land that you will walk in. I am sending your family to live there. I said, oh, you didn't say that before. And he said, I want you to put a memory in your room to remind you every day, pray for them. And I bought a flag and I put there. And he also said, I want you to show the map, the American map. I want to show you something. And I bought a map and I opened the map and he brought my eyes to Washington, D.C., Boston, and New York. I didn't know 3 years before the crash happened, September 11. And every day when I was praying, I said, Lord, don't you see? There are so many states. I'm just praying for these three areas. And he said, pray, pray, pray. When the September 11 happened, I was like, some of us thought that the world was going to the end, no? It was so terrible. And I understood what God was asking to me. We know that the buildings were empty, could be full of people in New York, and the pilot of one of the airplanes crashed in a ground because his plans were to destroy more people, kill more people. And so I had the opportunity. And I was glad. And God said to me after 1 year or two, because I did a deal with him, okay, are you sending us to America? So I need answers in three things. And I said for him, three, answer me these three questions. After that, I will be able to obey you. And God is so patient. And he answered me. And they arrived that he said, now it's time to go. And I went to my husband and said, darling, it's time to go. Are you crazy? Go for where? I said, East Coast, God is saying. East Coast, who is living there? I don't know. God said there is a people there waiting for us. Ah, you think it's easy? Go to the airplane, arrive there, and there is people, you know. And I said, God is saying that is our part, we have to go. And he said, no, and I am a submissive woman, and I said, deal with this man. I want to go, he doesn't, and so it's your business now. It's not. I'm not in charge anymore. And look what happened. In that, we were part of a big church in Uberlândia, and one day the pastor, one of the main pastor, called me, the wife's pastor, saying, we have a group of Americans here. We need translation for them. I know that you and your children can speak the English, and they want to go to the dentist, because in Brazil it's cheaper, and they used to go. 8 people. I was so glad. Yes, I go. And I went to the office, and it was 8, 3 couples and 2 single. They were in the middle age and some were more young. I invited them to come to lunch in my house. And as they were there, I was sharing about September 11. They cried, was so in the surface. You know, it was happened recently. And they were crying. They were... Some of them were prophets, and they prophesied over my life. One came to me, one lady said, she's a missionary, and she said, the Lord is saying that you are going to travel with me. I said, okay, for where are you going? I am going to Israel. No, I don't want to go to Israel. I have to go to America. And she said, okay, I am going the first semester to Israel. When we come back, you can go, and I can travel with you and your husband. I have a car. I have contacts. Amazing. And they start saying place that they live. Guess what? All them lived in East Coast. Wow. Lord sent them to my house to show to me and my husband that he was in charge of that. He was interested in that. And they gave me, one of them, $50. And I said, for what? I'm not demanding money for the lunch. No, he said, no, it's for your first trip. And the other came and did the same. And the trip of Israel, after 2 months, this lady missionary called me and said, didn't work the trip for Israel, you can come. And 3 months before we were here, traveling with her. And we had an appointment. We came like once alone, the other time, one sister in one church in Washington, D.C. said to me, the next time you are coming, you are bringing your other three children. I said, I have 4. No, but the Lord showed me 3. It's because Juliana was married at that time. Yes, she didn't come, but the other 3. And Lord provided the money to come for each one of us. And we went to Pentagon. We had the opportunity to preach and do worship in the chapel that they have there. And the other time that, we came back, and the first time I went to a trailer that lived a pastor, pastor's wife of an assembly pastor. She said to me, God will bring you time and time each year, and they will give you house to live, just saying. Take the keys, leave. I said, who is going to do that? She's crazy. Maybe she's older. I don't understand that. And guess what? In when Juliana and Jose decide to come to IOM base, is what happened. Each time we come, we stay in a place. Like in the lodge, in apartment, here and there. And so what the pastor said was really happening. We are staying each time in one place. And she said, one day you will have your house here. And God called Jose, that is Juliana's husband, because when the same way that God spoke with me that we were coming to America to live, he spoke with her because she was in Disney, in Florida, with a group of tourists, and God spoke with her that he was bringing her to America. And so, after she got married. God spoke to José one day. She was looking. He was not. He was feeling that he wanted more from God, and he found this base, YWAM base in Wisconsin. And Juliana talked with David Hombeck, Paula's husband, and he said, "Are you coming to America with your parents? And so, stay with us and do your DTS." And they did. And was the way that God called José and Juliana, and they are living here for this, how many? Almost 6 years. And after that, Marco Paulo, that my other son, got married. He did YWAM in Brazil. And he met Roberta in a church, and they got married. And Roberta wouldn't like to think about come to America, like she didn't speak English and understand in that point. But God also, one day they were in my house. The Holy Spirit woke up her in the middle night and said about her to come and do DTS and come to America. And so he's doing this with each one. That is neat, because one thing is my children be influenced, receive influence by me. Another thing is the ones that God is bringing them to be part of our family. And I understand that God has a project for each one of us. Each one of us. In Psalm 139, that I love that Psalm, says that when we were in the womb of our mothers, God wrote a history with our lives. You know that Psalm? For each one of us. Let's go there. Someone read for us. Is from verse. There is a perfect plan that God designed for you, for each one of us. And there is nothing that can't stop you to live this. Just you. Because it's not easy to live a life of obedience and being bold. But if you say yes to Jesus, he will do. You found?
Yeah, what verse?
From, let me see, 13 to 16. 13 to 16.
Okay. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made a secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them.
Look at that. I was so amazed the day I saw that. Maybe your parents didn't desire to have you. Maybe you think that, I don't know, you have some complaint about that, but God desired, God thought about you. God put everything you need to fulfill his purpose in this earth. And each one of us has a purpose that the other one cannot fulfill, because he designed for you, you know. One day I was saying to God, God, I'm so like, okay, in Brazil, we are doing so much. Forget this stuff about America, God. It will be hard. And I said, and he said, Laís, pay attention. You can do whatever you want. Good stuff in Brazil for me. But I called you to go to America. Do you want to do my will? This is what I have to you and to your family. And so it's not easy, because every time I come to America, Juliana knows, there's so many struggles going on there. The devil tried to keep us, tried to keep hardly. Because it's different when you are in the place that God wants. It's different. You don't speak their language. There is a lot of difficult things, but if God is in, go. We work. You know. And so Romans, the book of Romans 12:2 says about that we need to renew your mind with the word of God, because the God's will for us is good, pleasant, and perfect. And so we don't have to be afraid, because the word of God says that the God's will for us is good, pleasant, and perfect. We cannot live a perfect life, but He can. He has a perfect life for us. And so just read some things that I am ending in it for the morning. Put the Lord and His kingdom in first place in your life. Matthew 6:33 says about that. Make sure that you really want what He prepared for your life. Make sure if you really want what He wants. Second, develop your faith. And the faith is obedience, practical. The word of God says that the faith comes, listen the word of the Lord. What you think that you know doesn't work. If the word of the Lord is saying something for you, believe in this, because this is life. There is power. This word was empty, and the Lord made it with His words. He is going to make the same for you. And Hebrews 11:1 says about the faith. Is the word of God that will transform your mind and your heart. And we are what we think. We are what we think. And so better you think about the word of God that she is in your mind, because you are what you think. Be perseverant. Perseverant. Because it's not easy. But to live without Jesus, it's worse than that. And so, be perseverant. You are not looking. I have to wait so many years to start this. But God is working on us. If you see the lives of Abraham, Moses, Joseph, they spend a lot of time being trained in the desert. There is a place to be trained, is in the desert. And so, don't complain in the desert, because if you complain in the desert, you will die in the desert. Better thanks God for the desert. Teach me whatever you need to teach me. I want to go out of this place, you know, but with a good attitude. With a good attitude. And you need to know that the enemy will try to keep you. Hardly. Not to do religious stuff, but to fulfill the God's desire for you. Because in there, he knows that you will give trouble for Him. You know? One day, I like to listen to that. I was waking up and someone said to me, was giving me a word and say that the Lord said to her that the devil was saying, she woke up. Problems. Because I was, you know, yes, my life is for this. Someone asked me, it's not so hard to have your children, because we raise them very connected, very, very connected. We are very friends of our children. And when they start coming, people, how do you do? Your children are not with you. I said, they are not mine. They belong to Jesus. We are here for the kingdom of God. We have to work. We have to be obedient. One day this is coming to the end, but the eternity we will spend with God, and they have to fulfill their purpose in their lives. It's not easy. I have heart. I miss my grandchildren. I miss my children. I would love to have them around me all the time. This year, our youngest daughter got married. Juliana and José couldn't go. I never thought about that. Thanks Lord that He didn't tell me that, because it wasn't in my schedule. And there is sacrifice. Yes, there is a lot. But God will reward us. Yes, I'm saying right? Yes, and I want to receive the reward from the Lord's hand. I don't want to sit and see a movie that God will pass. Laís, come here. This is the life that I thought about you. But this is the life that you lived. I don't want to see two movies. I want to see one with my life. This is what I dream for you. I want to listen this from the Lord. And what the devil is doing with people is trying to make us live this life that we were thinking that we are not believers. We know what is going on. It's not time to complain and to save your life and try to maintain things. Just give. Give to God. He will give you 10,000 more. Be obedient to the commands He gives to you. Obey without question. Sometimes you can question, but obey. In the end, He wins. Do your part. Because if Moses, imagine Moses there. I put myself in that situation. All the water in front of him, the ocean, and behind the most important army in the land was the Egyptian. And Moses, and that ugly people complaining, speaking in his ears. What you did with us? Are you crazy? And we are crazy to follow you and this and this and this. And God said to him, hey man, go. Don't you see there is water there? But as he entered in the water, guess what happened? Something that never happened. And sometimes you are saying to God, it's not possible. It's crazy. Is this, is this, is that? You have the God of the impossibles. Do the possible, and He will do for you the impossibles. Amen.
Amen.
I end this morning with this, and I want to pray. We want to pray, because we listened, God moved inside, but we cannot lose the time to say, yes, Lord, I want whatever you want. But make sure that you really are wanting what He wants for you. Because some things can happen. You have to give away some stuff. You have to, you know. But, vale a pena?
It's worth it.
I can tell you that God is giving me happiness, joy through my journey all the time. He doesn't make me stay like mad, you know, or angry. No. I like to see that my children are running their race. It's different. It's not my race. It's them. It's that, you know, it's different. But we have to support them. I don't know. Maybe some children in your house are saying, Mom, I want to do YWAM. I want to do this and this. Oh, but I dream for you a nice career doing, being an engineer, or Juliana is a psychologist, Marco Paulo is a mechanic engineer, all them are graduated. They could be in there earning a lot of money if they wanted. But God said, serve me. You know what? Everything that you gain here will stay here. I never saw a funeral with a truck carry all the stuff of the dead person. Stay everything here. I'm not saying that you don't have to work. No, you have to work. But be obedient if God is calling you. You, doesn't matter the age, look at me. I'm a grandma. I'm being missionary. And you can be young. Amen. Are you coming too?
I just want to share a few things. In response to Laís. Thank you, Laís. That was amazing. Quite a preacher, huh?